This is Schleppcast, episode 32, and today we have sections 6 and 7 of the first chapter of Schlepp's novella. Room after room, Schlepp, Louis, and Terence wandered down gloomy hallways past darkened offices. The tiny click-click of turtle claws on linoleum were the only sound. They jumped at every stray noise, worried that the security man would find them. But when he got in from his tour of the outside, he just went back to his desk, his dinner, and the TV monitors watching the parking lot. Over and over again, Terence braced himself, Schlepp balanced atop his ornate shell, and Louis poised on the bear's broad shoulders, reaching towards the doorknob above. Sometimes it took two or three jumps before he caught the shiny lever. Then it was a matter of just getting some leverage and pulling until the door clicked open. Schlepp and Terence would muscle the door open from below. "Lightfeather, are you here?" Schlepp would call out. Over and over again, silence was the only answer. It was almost dawn when the weary trio opened the door to a laboratory that had a light on inside. Schlepp was just about to call out when he saw the people in the white lab coats. They were working at a lab bench, concentrating on something mechanical that lay scattered about in many pieces. A nearby flask held phosphorescent green goo that looked all too familiar to Louis. "Hurry up and hand me the fragilisticizer," said a woman. The man at her right offered her a strange elongated tool of shiny metal. She snatched the tool out of his hand without so much as a nod of thanks. Schlepp and Louis were so busy watching the people that they were startled when Terence, still wedged in the doorway, whispered excitedly, "Look over there!" Following Terence's gaze, Schlepp saw a large cage up on a counter, partially covered with a sheet. But behind the sheeting he could just make out dozens and dozens of jewel-like hummingbirds sleeping on its many perches. "How are we going to get them all outside, Schlepp?" asked Louis. "We can't just take Lightfeather and leave the rest," echoed Terence. "They're doing live animal research." "That's going to be tricky. All those birds are in a torpor. That's how hummingbirds survive the night when they can't feed on nectar. We've got to warm them up so they can fly. Here's what we'll have to do." Louis climbed carefully up the handles of the drawers to the top of the lab bench. From the top of the Bakelite splashboard, he could just reach the thermostat. He nudged it up. There, he thought. 85 degrees should do it. Then he crudled carefully down the bench until he was behind the cage. Now to wait for Schlepp's signal. Lightfeather and the other hummingbirds were starting to arouse from their torpor as the room warmed up. They twitched their wings and started to move their beaks. Louis stole in quietly and gently began tapping Lightfeather on the cheek. "Wake up, Lightfeather. Come on, you can do it." Meanwhile, across the room, "Boy, it's hot in here," explained the man. "The thermostat must be broken." "Oh, quit complaining and hand me the spacers," snapped the woman. "If we don't get this robot flyer fixed for the boss, we'll never be able to catch enough hummingbirds." Suddenly, there was an incredible crash as a tower of glassware toppled off a storage shelf with a horrific din. The woman gave out a startled cry, and the man exclaimed, "What the?" Louis immediately recognized this as Schlepp's idea of a simple but discreet signal. Springing up and out of the cage, he grabbed the sheet and flung it aside. The humans were too shocked by all the noise of breaking laboratory glass on the far side of the room to notice. But the hummers did. Between the warmth and now the bright light, they quickly awoke. Louis waved them towards the door of the cage and cried out, "Head for the back door, the fire exit!" Dozens and dozens of flying jewels buzzed out and streaked for the door that Terence still held ajar. Lightfeather held back and hovered near Louis. He quickly explained what they had to do to distract the humans long enough for Schlepp to escape the lab and then make their way together back to the rear exit of the building. With that, Lightfeather zipped up to the ceiling, briefly got her bearings, and then strafed the two people, who were only now noticing that their prized collection of hummingbirds had literally flown the coop. "Stop! Stop them! Quick!" cried the woman, waving her arms wildly in the air, desperately trying to keep Lightfeather from poking her with a sharp hummingbird beak. No, moaned the man as the last Hummer zipped out over Terrence. They can't get out of the building, you fool, cried the woman. Just get the net and catch them at the front door. The man grabbed a net with a long handle that was standing in the corner and ran towards the door. That's when he saw Terrence, still wedged in the door jamb, determined to hold his ground until all his buddies were safely out into the hall. And that's when he saw Louis jump down and vault over Terrence. What the? Crash! Another piece of glassware hit the floor, but this time it was followed by alarm bells, and an automated voice on the building loudspeakers said, Warning! Warning! Pseudo-radioactive spill! Level 1! Warning! Warning! The man turned in his tracks. The woman stopped flailing at Lightfeather. Their gaze fell on the flask of phosphorescent green goo broken open on the floor, and a small brown teddy bear scurrying away across the countertop. Schlepp reached the end of the lab bench and, without breaking stride, took a long leap, bounced off his bean-filled bottom, and came up scrambling fast for the door. But the man used his long net and scooped the furry one up. Oh, no! Cried Louis and Terrence as one. But Lightfeather swooped around in a high banked turn, diving down as fast as her little wings could beat. Ow! A bright line of blood appeared on his cheek, where the Hummer's beak had scratched the man. He reflexively swatted at his face, but Lightfeather was long gone. But in doing so, he dropped the net lower. Louis bounded over Terrence, took a flying jump, and grabbed the net. Distracted by Lightfeather, and with the added weight, the man let the net slip out of his grasp. As soon as it touched the ground, Louis helped Schlepp free, and they raced back to the doorway, leaped over Terrence, and took position behind him. All clear, Lightfeather, shouted Schlepp. The little bird broke off her attack and zoomed out the narrow door opening in the doorway. As soon as she was clear, Louis and Schlepp pulled on the turtle's tail. With a pop, he was pulled free of the door jamb, and the lab door snapped closed. Schlepp tipped Terrence up on his rim, and Louis bounced the shell from the other side. With a shove, they were off, rolling Terrence between them as fast as two stuffed critters could run, heading towards the rear fire exit. But all too quickly, the lab door burst open and the humans dashed out. Lightfeather zipped back up the hall, away from the exit and towards the front door. Her wings made a loud hum, and the humans ran after her and away from her buddies. In moments, Louis, Schlepp, and a dizzy Terrence, plus a flock of buzzing hummingbirds, were at the back door, and the back door was closed tight. "Where's Lightfeather?" asked Louis. "Don't worry. She's just leading those people away. She'll double back down the other hallway." And just as Schlepp said those words, Lightfeather zipped into view. "Stand back, everyone," ordered Schlepp. "Time to blow this place." Terrence took up his position at the base of the door. Schlepp scrambled up and got ready to boost Louis up to the door latch. But Louis just stared dejectedly and said, "Sorry, guys. This door has a bar, not a handle." Sure enough, the fire exit only had a panic bar that humans could push in an emergency. But Louis would never get enough leverage against it to force it open. Then Lightfeather buzzed over and thought out loud, looks like we need a human. Stay right here, fellows. All you Hummers, follow me. And in a buzzing blur, they flew off up the hall. Minutes passed and the alarm kept up its warnings. Warning, warning. Pseudo-radioactive spill. Level 1. Warning, warning. What's Lightfeather up to? Asked Terrence. I don't know, answered Schlepp, but I think she's going to make a bigger emergency. I'm worried about them birds, Schlepp, said Louis. Those guys got nets. Just then they heard footsteps running towards them, and around the corner dashed the man, and right behind him a flock of angry hummingbirds. They dove and swooped, poked and buzzed the poor fellow. The man flailed his arms wildly about, and, desperate to escape these tiny terrors, he burst through the emergency exit and ran out of the building, the Hummers in hot pursuit. Behind him the door swung shut. Except that it didn't. With a clunk it stopped, leaving a 3-inch gap. Terrence was acting the doorstop once again. Everybody out, called Schlepp, looking back into the hallway, double-checking for any stragglers. Then he and Louis pulled Terrence loose, and they headed for the safety of the nearby bushes. Far across the parking lot, the man still ran, pursued by the flock of hummingbirds. Lightfeather, though, had flown back to check on her friends. "Everything okay back here?" she asked, settling down atop Terence's shell and folding her wings. "Big Schlepp's never going to believe this," commented Louis. "We'd better get back to the brigade and make our report. Herr Professor Bear is going to want to know what's going on out here," replied Schlepp. "What was that green stuff, anyway?" asked Terence. "When I pushed the bottle over, I saw the label. It said it was unobtainium. The professor will know what it means." And with that, our crew strode off across the desert towards the bus stop and the long trip home. This ends Chapter 1 of Schlepp's novella.